Around the NFL podcast is jealous of Mark's Mexican vacation.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and oh my goodness, she's back. Don't call it a comeback, Lindsay Rhodes.
Woohoo! Hola.
Hey, Dan.
I've had multiple listeners over the last week, actually, DM me. One I was in a real conversation with about, like, oh, so when are you going on this Mexico trip? I was like, it is an utter lie. I am never going to Mexico.
Well, what do you mean? It's the off season now. You got your feet in the sand. You got your wigglies in the sand.
I mean, it's projection. Wigglies. It's just you're wishing it on me, and I appreciate the concept, but it will not be happening.
I'll be happy to volunteer to take Mark's place as going on excursions all off season.
I mean, the Super Bowl's over, so this is, as we can tell from this week, obviously we are now downshifting into a really easy time in the NFL calendar.
Meanwhile, was that person on Twitter, like, casing your house in this conversation?
I don't know.
When are you going? How long are you going for?
It wasn't.
Is everyone in your family going with you?
That's fair. It's time for our family to be robbed. We've been here long enough, and there have been no incidents of that. You can take some of the material objects out of my house, please.
Mark balked immediately at your contention that this is an easy time of year.
I know. I was trying to instigate Mark. A reaction out of him did not succeed. Only an eye roll. Mark, you, speaking of possessions, you lost your bag in Minnesota or somewhere in the world, and a lot of your hot new clothes that you had purchased.
All of them outside of this shirt. It's the only shirt I have.
Just answer me one question.
Yeah.
They did not take from you your fancy hot jeans with all the holes in them.
No, that's the only pair of jeans I have.
Oh, thank God.
He's literally wearing them right now.
My two other pairs of jeans that I wear and the other, like, tan pants that I got are gone. Six shirts are gone. All underwear and socks are gone outside of, like, the most backup version of that garment.
Oh, that's disturbing.
Yeah.
You're down to your fourth-string quarterback in most of your clothing
It is obnoxious. I thought I'd beat the system because I took a later flight and gained, like, an $800 gift card, which I've beaten Delta
Cancun.
Entirely.
Smart.
And in
now
the
you're
end,
gonna need to use that to buy your clothes back.
Yeah, it's utterly absurd.
That's life, isn't that life? But the jeans, to me, was the jeans purchase was the breakout purchase of your clothes horse phase that you're going through. And that fact that you still have your fancy holes jeans, I'm very excited.
This is actually a 3-year-old purchase that I rediscovered and put back into the lineup. Now it is fully in the lineup.
And Lindsay, it's been a while since
it's
you've been on the show.
It's been so long.
It's been too long.
Last offseason, early. I think so.
Yeah. I've missed you guys.
It's not the same without you. But now that the season's over, Lindsay's back with us, and it's a great show to be back. I don't remember
that for your Emmy reel.
What?
I don't remember the last time that the week after the Super Bowl produced so much news.
Oh my gosh!
I mean,
poor Eagles.
Well,
I mean, every
I
time
like
where they're
okay,
like,
but...
"Hey, we have a day," and someone's like, "Hold my beer,"
drowned out.
Exactly. Rosenthal picks this week. Mr. Greg Rosenthal of NFL Media picks this week to take a vacation, and I got a feeling
he's actually in my luggage.
I have a feeling he wishes he was here to talk because we got a big parade, we got a big quarterback deal, and yes, big, big drama surrounding the Colts and the Patriots. So let's get to it. So much to get to. Mark's ready. Once he gets his bag back, you are hitting the road. You're going down to Mexico. Going to get that pina colada that's in the coconut, that one?
I'll just go with it at this point. I'd be happy to do that.
At this point, it's just you and a bindle stick.
The offseason is here. Let's do some news.
The rivalry is back on.
Is it, though? I don't know. Our old friend Chris Ballard knows how rivalries work. But there is so much to get to here because Josh McDaniels was supposed to be the Indianapolis Colts head coach. We had heard it for weeks and weeks and weeks that it was going to happen. Then right around the Super Bowl, percolation, I call it.
Percolation.
Started hearing some things that maybe Josh was getting cold feet. Well, it became official on Tuesday, or was it Wednesday?
Wednesday,
that McDaniels withdrew from an agreement to become the Colts.
Well, Tuesday night.
It was Tuesday.
Tuesday night, sorry.
Thank you, Mark. And will remain the Patriots offensive coordinator instead with a sweetened deal. This was a crazy development that stunned the Colts, who not only had announced that they had reached an agreement with McDaniels to be their new head coach, they had also scheduled an introductory news conference for Wednesday at Lucas Oil Stadium. Jet fans are getting flashbacks to Bill Belichick walking out on them on the day of the wedding. Chris Ballard, who's been through a lot, had a press conference on Wednesday to talk about things. We'll start with this, Mark, and then I'll throw it to you because you wrote a great write-up on NFL.com. How the news was delivered to Ballard that McDaniels wasn't coming.
He said he had bad news for me. I just said, I just need a yes or no answer, you in or out. We went around for a minute, and he said he's out, and I said, okay, we're going to move forward. I wish you best of luck.
Mark, how do you think Ballard handled this? Let's start here. Reacting to it is a crazy thing.
Well, I mean, I can't imagine a tougher press conference dropped out of the skies where you don't have the owner with you. You simply had to go out there on your own and explain what looked like a massive snafu. And Ballard, who's taken heat on this show for whatever reason, I thought handled it as well as Henry, general manager I've watched do anything in the past year. I mean, he went right at it, head on, answered any question. He took full accountability for the fact that he basically told the team, you can announce the agreement. I feel that good about what Josh McDaniels has told me. They had a relationship. He took him at his word. Josh McDaniels backed out. You know, it's easy to look at the Colts and say, well, the Colts screwed this up or something here. It's just the opposite. I think Josh McDaniels obviously was compelled by a very strong message out of New England. You stay here and we'll make sure that the good things happen to you, and maybe sooner than later. But from the Colts angle, Ballard, I wonder if this could be a blessing in disguise, because everyone just looks at Josh McDaniels and said, oh, the next Bill Belichick. Well, we have no concept after what we've seen from him as Denver's head coach or what he pulled here that he'd be any better as a head coach than Frank Reich, John DeFilippo, Dave Taub, fill in the blank. We just don't know. So maybe, if anything, with that rivalry being back on, this was a good move for the Colts, or a blessing in disguise, I should say.
Well, here's what Ballard said. He was not interested in convincing McDaniels once he got that phone call.
There was no persuasion. Let me make this clear. I want, and we want as an organization, a head coach that wants to be all in. We got work to do. I'm not once hid that. We have work to do. And I want somebody that's 100% committed to partnering with us and getting that work done.
And Lindsay, the Colts obviously now scrambling, have requested interviews with our boy Dan Campbell, former Dolphins interim coach back in the day, and Frank Reich.
And Leslie Frazier.
And Leslie Frazier. So they are now, rightfully, and they have no other choice, scrambling to get things set up while every other team has things locked in place.
Yeah, they're definitely behind the eight ball. I mean, we are 5 weeks away from free agency, I think. We've got the combine coming up in a couple of weeks. This is not a position that a team wants to be put in. And I don't understand the reaction to make fun of the Colts on a national level. Like, I get the Patriots fans protecting Josh McDaniels, and I understand that. But the snark that has been directed toward the Colts, I don't understand. There is a rule that is in place that you can't hire a coach until after they're out of the playoffs. So it's all kind of wink, wink, nod, nod. That's what happens. The Lions did it with Patricia. They knew they had their guy, but they couldn't make it official. That's what was in place with Josh McDaniels. Everything we heard was that they had a second interview, and everybody said, oh, but that interview is in quotes, because what it really was a planning meeting to make sure we're all on the same page about where to move forward. He'd reached out to assistant coaches. One was already working in the building. There were people under contract. Obviously, the coach is telling them who to hire. It's not like Chris Ballard had any indication, as far as those things were concerned, that he should be concerned that this person who gave him his word that he would come be their coach was going to back out at the last second. So to suggest that he shouldn't have scheduled a press conference, to me, is crazy.
Dead on.
I understand. Look, for whatever reason, if Josh McDaniels felt like he needed to turn the job down at the last second, then fine. You do what's best for you. But in my opinion, you need to come forward, put your hand in the air, say, my bad. I screwed over a lot of people. I'm really sorry that this happened. This is what I felt like I needed to do. Like, there has to be ownership of that to a degree.
Sure.
I don't understand the finger pointing in the direction of Indianapolis right now. And I know that Josh isn't doing that, but
I think that's well said. And snark is easy, which is why it's the most popular form of look at me wit on Twitter. It's too easy to be snarky. If you look deeper, like you said, this is about the Patriots, not about the Colts. Josh McDaniel, I don't think he got cold feet. He just got convinced.
And this is part of the risk, and it's a reminder to all teams going forward, of putting all your eggs in the basket of these teams that are involved with the Super Bowl, because if something terrible happens, this is a worst-case scenario. And it's so funny, right before this news broke, I was going through the DVR. You know, you fall behind on your television when you go cover the Super Bowl.
Got to catch up on The Crown.
So I got to get in on The Crown. 30 for 30, the two Bills, something I had been looking forward to for a long time. And it almost predicted this, because in the 80s, I believe, it was either mid to late 80s, maybe even early 90s, Bill Belichick, then under Bill Parcells, was going to take a job with the Vikings, I believe it was. And Parcells said, hey, if you feel like you need to do it, do it. But let me tell you something. If you want to stay, what I can do is, you know, start involving you in the behind-the-scenes wheelings and dealings and the responsibilities that come with being a head coach, start to show you what this job is really about, and maybe eventually you take over for me. And that was enough to convince Belichick that he should stay, because Parcells was such a master. I am almost certain that the same thing happened with Belichick and McDaniels, where Belichick said, hey, I get it if you want to take that job. It's a great job. But if you stay here, you could be my successor, and I'll teach you how it works to be a head coach at this level.
Mike Reese of ESPN reported exactly that Belichick sat him down and said, I will teach you the ways of the salary cap. I will teach you roster construction, and I will invest in your future. And I think your instincts on that Parcells to Belichick transition really played out here.
Well, and it also obviously involves Kraft. It's from ownership on down. And I'm surprised that hasn't already been happening, because McDaniels has been under his wing forever. But if that's the case, the message must have been so strong that you will take over for me when that happens. And I know this probably will not be the case. There's a little part of me that still feels like this early offseason could contain one more massive bombshell. If Belichick is still wondering in the back of his mind if he wants to go through this for one more year, I think it's like a 98% chance that he will. But now they have that person in place to take over when it happens.
Here's what I don't understand. All of those things that we just discussed could have been discussed a month ago. Like, it's not like I understand that you're focused on a playoff run, but there isn't a minute in the late hours at the office where you're just putting your feet up and like grabbing a cup of coffee to get you through the midnight hours where you could say, hey, could I have 5 minutes of your time? Could we kind of get on the same page here? I'm about to make a massive commitment. Let's discuss. That's the part that I don't understand. I'm kind of mad on behalf of the Colts organization.
Yeah, I mean,
you might have been able to pick up on
it. It's an odd
It's how the Patriots operate. And the way it was presented to the public, it seems that everything was on the back burner. It was all about the playoffs and the Super Bowl, which makes sense It's believable. But on the other hand, there is this huge life decision, and there are other people involved, all those guys that are under contract with the Colts now who don't know who their boss is. There's been indications, I guess, that those guys, including a defensive coordinator, will remain with the team regardless of who the Colts hire. But it's just such a big mess, and it's during such a tough time for the Colts. Edwin Jackson, their linebacker, was tragically killed in a DUI accident on Super Bowl weekend. Andrew Luck's status is still so up in the air with his shoulder, although Ballard did say, Mark, that there won't be more surgery. But we've heard.
Well, he said that based off not hearing the doctors say that Andrew Luck needs surgery. That still feels like whoever inherits that job is in for, like last season, months of having to answer Andrew Luck questions. And on the Jackson front, he basically opened the press conference saying, Ballard opened the press conference saying, I know what we're going to talk about is a tough situation for the Colts, but this whole weekend was a lot tougher than having a coach walk away from us. He said, we'll figure that part out. The first part's very tough.
And what stood out to me, too, every time he talked about Edwin Jackson, he mentioned Jeffrey Monroe, who was the Uber driver who was also killed by that drunk driver. And I thought just the human aspect of that really touched me, because obviously Edwin Jackson's name has been used to politicize the situation. It's being used because he's the famous person, but Jeffrey Monroe's life is no less valuable, and I had a great deal of respect for Chris Ballard for the way that he included him.
I think that tells you something about Chris Ballard.
Yep.
From the Patriots angle, just real quick though, they go from losing both coordinators, O-line coach, special teams coach, one of their quarterback's coaches, possibly Gronk to retirement. All of that was in play as of Tuesday afternoon, and now all of it could be returning to New England just to reload for another Super Bowl run.
Other than Patricia.
Minus Patricia.
Right, but you've got Brian Flores as a guy who's likely to be elevated and is highly respected, already getting head coaching interviews. To me, it looked like on Tuesday we could be saying goodbye to the Patriots dynasty, and now it looks like more of the same for next year.
I think it's still over. I think we were at the funeral on Sunday.
We're in a new chapter. There's no doubt about that. And if you're Josh McDaniels,
how is there no doubt?
There's no doubt that it's a new chapter because Tom Brady is not – I don't think he's going to play for six more years. You might get the later stage of Tom Brady. You're going to lose Belichick at some
point. Talking
about
a gradual decline? Good for you.
I think the guy who just threw for
– gradual organizational changes.
Way to grab your spot on Tom versus Time next year.
There you go. I just think everyone – Romeo Crennel, Eric Mangini, Charlie Weiss, Josh McDaniels the first time he was a head coach, which is an utter disgraceful head coaching job by him in Denver. These guys don't leave New England and automatically become Bill Belichick 2.0.
And one last fun little nug, Bob Lamonte, who is the agent or was the agent of Josh McDaniels, publicly, he didn't make it. He turned this into a show to pump up the Lamonte brand, I guess. First, tells our own Mikey Garofalo that he had terminated the relationship and let it be known that he thought it was perhaps the biggest professional mistake of his career, McDaniels' career, by backing out of that Colts deal so late. And then he gave a quote to Garofalo: "My word is my bond. Once you break that, there's nothing else." Whatever, bro.
Is that how he said it?
Yes.
He also represents Chris Ballard.
Yeah. So
there was some
drama.
Sneaky
some conflicts.
Greg Rosenthal versus Lamonte heat on Twitter.
Greg got really fired up on Twitter. He's like, all the times Lamonte ever leaked, how dare he be sanctimonious? I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that was
I
true.
Asked for more of it. Didn't get it. Greg back to vacation. All right, so that's what's going on. The other big news, and this was involves the Patriots on some level, a former Patriot at least, Jimmy Garoppolo traded in the middle of last season for a second-round pick from the Pats to the 49ers, eventually took over the starting job at the end of San Francisco's season, went 5-0, comeback wins, great throws, great physical looks, attraction. A lot of the men in this studio attracted on a strange level.
Are you?
So Jimmy G, you know.
Okay.
He's got those dark features. I just like him.
Handsome guy. No doubt.
The 49ers, they're attracted to Jimmy G. I don't know how, but I will tell you, financially, they decide to keep him around. Five-year deal worth $137.5 million, according to Mikey Garofalo. You know, why did there have to be
Garofalo, which is you cannot put Garoppolo and Garofalo in the same sentence.
Yes.
Oh, like, messing with pronunciations.
Got
right?
stuck doing that today, and it's Garofalo should not be allowed to report on Garoppolo.
I agree. Pass it off.
Yep.
Firewall.
Like, for the rest of us.
And then Jeanine Garoppolo. Agreed. Or what's your name? Garoppolo. She's been on the pop culture grid for literally like 24 years, and now I am still like dealing with that, and now you got Garoppolo in the mix? Come on, man.
Too much.
That ain't right. Anyway, Jimmy G got paid. The deal is the largest in NFL history on an average per year basis. Matt Stafford held the mark of $27 million per year. Jimmy G. His deal will average $27.5 million. Lindsay, that's probably going to be quickly blown away as number one by some of these other hot shots coming up down the pike, including Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers and so on. But are you surprised that he got top-of-the-line franchise star money?
No, because he's clearly their franchise quarterback right now. I mean, I know it's a very small sample size, but and he looked so good, and he made the team so much better in ways that are even subtle. Like, the defense was playing better. And people who do actually know what they're seeing, unlike myself, David Carr, was saying he's making throws out there that there are only a couple quarterbacks in the league that can make those throws. And so when you have people who actually know the quarterbacking position, look at him and say, like, this is not smoke and mirrors. He is the real deal. And yes, it's a small sample size, but what they're seeing leads them to believe that he will continue to look like this in the future. I think you have to pay him like he's a franchise quarterback, and that's the going rate.
There was so much outrage on Twitter from some pockets. I don't know
Shocking.
What they're watching that he got paid by this, but you already have from Bill Belichick and the entire Patriots coaching staff that they felt this way about him. Had the situation been different, they would have paid him this. Throw Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers organization on top of that. And like you said, a bunch of other people around the league that they don't need 170 games to figure out. You pay this guy. The cap situation, number one, is this is not 2011. You can pay these people. We knew he was going to get paid. He barely eclipsed Stafford. He's going to get eclipsed quickly by Cousins. 3 years from now, this deal will look like a total steal because he will be a Super Bowl participant by then, maybe even Whoa. More than once. I don't doubt it at all. They can
Let
turn
me mark
that team
that
around.
Down. 3 years.
They will turn that team around that quickly. What he did in the course of one season for the 49ers, how often do you see a quarterback step in and do that from a team that was raging
Never.
Towards the first pick in the draft to the closing out with four or five straight wins?
They were 1-11, and then they went 5-0, and Jimmy G had the highest drive success rate of any quarterback in the NFL. That's my favorite offensive statistic. 62% of drives with Jimmy G ended in a touchdown, ended
That's
in a score.
Crazy.
The Patriots led the league at 51% for the entire season. That's
wow.
an insane rate. And the same lemmings who are outraged were the ones who were calling Jimmy G Matt Castle, because you have to compare every backup with the Patriots to every other backup. Jimmy G, I mean, fans have been conditioned by sports with guaranteed contracts like baseball and basketball to question all these mega deals. When's the last NFL team that regretted paying a franchise quarterback? You can get out of it after 2 years. Nope, the Bengals didn't regret paying Dalton. The Chiefs didn't regret paying Alex Smith. The 49ers got out of Kaepernick after a couple of years.
Even 2 years was a lot for Brock Osweiler, but yes, you got
All right.
out after 2 years.
That's, yeah, there's the rare example, and, they're free of it. But, I mean, what is the other option? You found this guy. You're the team that somehow got him for a second-round pick.
It's the heist of the decade.
Exactly. Yeah. So you follow through. There was literally not a single person inside the organization we're going to do anything but sign.
It wasn't even
and
a heist.
It's a fair deal.
It would be like if the bank just gave you all of its diamonds.
Yeah.
You don't even have to go in under the lasers. Right. The bank's just like, here, take them.
You don't have to do the Catherine Zeta-Jones in that bad 90s movie.
Dips beneath lasers.
Every year there's always an off-season conversation about teams that go from worst to first. The Philadelphia Eagles are the best example of that this year. I'm not saying that the Niners are going to end up in the Super Bowl next year or that they're going to win it, but they're the easiest pick to go from worst
yes.
to first. And they're in a tough division, so I'm not saying that that's going to be necessarily that they'll be first, but they are the most obvious choice.
Well, they started that journey, you know, with a month to go last season. You already seen it on paper, and they'll continue to build. I mean, they still have high draft picks galore, and you don't have to make it. You don't have to swing for the fences on Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen or Baker Mayfield.
No, that's why it's a perfect situation. Hope walked in the room the second that trade happened, Mark. And there's hope for you and I when you look at Garoppolo and you look at the Niners. You get a good quarterback in there, everything changes.
Everything changes.
Immediately, and that's what happened with the Niners. Matt Patricia, we brought it up before, introduced as the new head coach of the Detroit Lions. A little bit of a panache from our friend. We haven't seen a head coach put the pencil behind the ear since when, Wes? Pencil behind the ear, head
Tony
coach.
Tony Sperano?
Janine Garofalo is the answer. Mike Tice did it with the Vikes.
I always thought he was going to lose an eyeball or something.
And Patricia, famously, you always get hung up on the big bushy beard and those manic eyes, but he always has the pencil behind the ear, and he stopped the press conference in Detroit and said, hey, I got to get comfortable, puts the pencil behind his ear, 12-4 Detroit Lions in 2018. And he made it clear that Jim Bob Cooter will be back. Didn't specify that it would be the OC, but you imagine it will be considering how well Stafford.
A local reporter later clarified, did some digging,
OC.
Said he is the OC.
OC. And he's not looking to, even though Bob Quinn, also Patriots ties, not looking to reproduce the Patriot way. You know what they're looking to do? The Lions way.
There you go.
Oh,
so
it.
Clever.
Finally.
Will training camp start a month late there this year?
Yeah, I mean... Lindsay, you might have missed this one. I know you listen to every episode, but the Lions were the last to report to camp. Greg points out that it was all scheduling and they didn't do anything wrong. But all I'm saying is you get to camp earlier in 2018, maybe get to the playoffs.
I think they would have been a shoo-in for the postseason. That kind of hung around them psychologically all year, I think.
Set the tone, really.
Finally, Malcolm Butler. There continues to be, you know, a mystery around why the cornerback who played in 97.5% of Patriots snaps was benched in Super Bowl 52. Butler addressed the issue in a Twitter post on Tuesday, disputing reports that his benching was linked to disciplinary action. Here's what he said. During Super Bowl week, I never attended any concert. I went to a couple concerts. Did not see Malcolm Butler, so that checks out. Missed curfew or participated in any of the ridiculous activities being reported. They are not only false, but hurtful to me and my family. Note, and my free agency value. Patriots are dirty. Although I wish I could have contributed more to help my team win, I have to get ready for the next opportunity, a.k.a. I gone. And Tom Brady, almost immediately, 6 minutes after that post, wrote, "Love you, Malcolm. You are an incredible player and teammate and friend, always." Do you think Tom Brady's just like clicking refresh?
That was the underrated storyline of that story. Does Tom Brady run his own Instagram? Like, do you think he's sitting there scrolling on his phone and that he found that, or does he have a social media team that did it on his behalf?
I think that got kicked to him, though, because that wouldn't be news immediately. If That's they're a true. Good team, it wouldn't be like, hey, let's just sort of freeform Tom Brady's response to this radioactive situation.
That's so true.
They'll be buried
unless you
under
really
a highway.
Trust your team. Like, you've
got to really
guys,
trust them.
But Brady has a very active social media wing, arm, and my guess is what you're saying is, somebody's refresh.
It's like, Tom, we got a hot situation here on IG.
We got a situation on the IG, Malcolm Butler.
Someone's job was getting paid about $400,000 a year just to refresh Instagram. Like,
we got a hot situation here. Butler has addressed the controversy. You said you wanted to help out, Malcolm. This is your chance to respond. Over.
All right, and that's what's happening in the news. However, we have so much to get to. I can't even find my papers. What? Here it is. That, we have to bring it back. It's been a while. Little odds and ends, and I'll tell you what. Colleen Wolfe, a.k.a. Connie Fox, who's going to join us later from Philadelphia, where she anchored coverage with Kyle Brandt from Philadelphia of the Super Bowl parade. She usually handles our odds and ends song that gets us into our speed round of news.
Okay.
Lindsay? This is what it sounds like.
When she does that?
When she does it.
Okay. Odds and ends, odds and ends. Let's get some odds and ends. Get your odds and ends right here. Oh, see, why'd you put that in my head? It's hard not to mimic it when you've just heard it.
I don't want you to mimic. Let's wipe it away. No mimic, but I'll give you the lyrical content. Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Let's get your odds and ends.
Let's get your odds and ends. Or you could, you could like Sinatra, how he would throw things in like right here. Whatever you want.
In this the spirit of Colleen, should I rap it?
I know.
Yeah, I know.
You know, we wanted to put that on the show, but I think everybody freaked out. Cardi B, Colleen did
an infringement
situation. But Colleen did a live Cardi B rap.
Saw that.
Or
it's making the
commercial.
Rounds.
They put, we can't play it. Shadow League figures don't let us have fun around here anymore, Lindsay. All right, here we go. Here comes the music, and then straight into 8 o'clock delight, Lindsay Fulton. Lindsay Rhodes, this is your stage.
Would somebody like to beatbox over this? Or
I think you got the wrong room for that. Yeah.
Well, that's the only reason why I would ask.
Yeah, if hip-hop stud Greg Rosenthal is here, maybe.
Like, I want you to really show off your beatboxing skills. I want you to show people how
I could try
you are.
If you want help. Okay, here we go.
All right. Yep. Okay. Odds and ends. Get your odds and ends right now.
I like it. That was new.
Plenty of odds.
That's my Tom Brady. What did he say? Patriots out. No, Tom.
It's not you, Tom. All right. We got to get all this in. This is the speed round. Got to be quick here. Hit it, Fulton. All right. Chief CEO did not want to trade Alex Smith to the Broncos, Wes. What's your takeaway on that?
Well, there's different schools of thoughts. Mike Brown of the Bengals believes you can do interdivision trades if you pay a premium for the player. Bill Belichick once traded Drew Bledsoe to the Bills within the division. It's not unheard of, but I think most people believe you don't help out your division rival.
Panthers placed interim GM Marty Herney on paid leave amid an NFL investigation into harassment accusations made against him by his former wife, Mike Garafolo reported. A lot of unease. You think I'm going to set you up sort of for a tough answer, Mark? A lot of unease around the Panthers right now.
Yeah, much more to go on that case. I will allow them to handle it. Thank you.
You're like red.
Rob Gronkowski, he may be retiring from football, but he won't be ready to just exit. He's not going to be like Johnny Carson after he left the Tonight Show and disappear on his yacht. He wants to be in the public eye. According to the North Andover Eagle Tribune, Gronk is considering a career in acting. According to the report, Sly Stallone and The Rock both told Gronk that he could, quote, make millions in action films. Lindsay, you buying or selling?
He can't even sell The Patriot Way with a straight face. Like, he answers questions. Like, he can't not say 69 without giggling. Like, how in the world is he going to be an actor?
I can't agree more. What evidence do we have that he can act?
Well, he was in a movie. Don't you remember?
What if this all's been a character? Maybe he's a true wordsmith underneath.
A reality show.
The whole Gronk thing is a character.
Check out the trailer on YouTube. You Can't Have It. One of the worst movies I've ever seen in terms of a trailer. Hey, Russell Wilson got traded. Can't believe we buried this so far in the news. It was to the Yankees. The Rangers traded his rights to the Yankees. Wilson has said that he's always been a dream to play for the Yankees, so he'll be at spring training.
It's like a career 227 hitter in single A, which is lower than Michael Jordan was played in the baseball. This guy, I think it's just a gift for social media managers that you can put Russell Wilson and Yankees in the same section on Twitter and get clicks.
I think you nailed that perfectly, my friend. Also, an Eagles fan stole a seat from U.S. Bank Stadium.
I saw that.
How is that possible? We were at the game.
What?
Yeah, he stole a seat, had it included in his carry-on luggage back to Philly. He got busted for it. He's agreed to pay a fee, I believe, in the range of $1,000 to $2,000 to pay back the city of Minnesota.
That's like the woman who tried to sneak a bag of wine in her bra into the game. Like, what are these people thinking?
Both admirable
efforts.
How
do you do that? Although he got away with it.
First of all, it's not yours.
It's not yours.
That's it. That's 8 o'clock to life.
I like Wes pointing out the core issue with robbery.
Well, look.
It's not yours.
It's not yours. Give it back.
True.
This guy could also be implicated in your suitcase scenario.
Well, probably what they did was they took 18 to 20 suitcases that look suspicious, and they're all under a bunker, including
this man obviously has light fingers.
I love the visual of Wes there in the stadium after the game. The guy's going out with his chair, and he's like, that is not yours.
Hey, Mr. Man, what are you up to?
Seriously, what's with robbery? It's not yours. Just don't take it.
Well, Wes, now you're
makes a lot of sense.
Greater societal ill.
Just
now we're just getting deep.
Start acting like an adult, people.
All right. And finally, Mark. One more takeaway on the Marty Herney situation.
I will be filing some briefs and some reports later on that. Check my social media for that.
Oh, time's up on that conversation.
All right. That's what's happening in the news officially. All right. So it is time to get the great Connie Fox on the line. Colleen, who was – what a year for Colleen, Lindsay. Now you are let's break down the hierarchy here.
No, let's not.
Let's do it.
Why are you? What what can be gained by this conversation?
My point is
Lindsay's like, why do I appear at most once a year on the show? Oh, now I.
Oh, you guys! I just got a text from my producer. I gotta go.
Lindsay Rhodes is the queen, and now you're not. This isn't going the direction you think I'm sending it. I'm saying it's great to have Lindsay around because Lindsay is so important to the network. Lindsay has the power to make anything go away, including
us. Yeah.
Because she's the co-anchor.
Apparently, I don't.
NFL and Mark's luggage.
Total Access. Total Access, which is our flagship program on NFL Network, which airs Monday through Saturday at all different times. But usually 7 p.m. Eastern.
Friday. But yeah, it's 7 Eastern.
Oh, it's not Saturday?
Yeah, not anymore.
Okay.
Now they do the Good Morning Football Weekend.
You made
starring Connie Fox.
There you go. And Connie Fox is about to join us on the line, is doing such great work. We're proud of Connie because Connie is not only is she on like 14 podcasts, which I've had conversations with her privately, but I'd like her to just be on our podcast. The Sheck thing has never sat well with me. I'm just being honest with you.
That would be cleaner.
But that's a thing.
He literally just got physically uncomfortable and had to adjust his collar.
I know. Good Morning Football, weekend edition, of course, and also the Power Ranking Show. And she's also an Eagles fan. This is what I'm trying to get to. things are going right, great for Connie right now.
It's
and now
the year
she joins us. Or does she?
The Fox.
I've called her three times and it went from ringing and ringing to then sending it to voicemail on purpose. You know when it rings, like after it rings and then it goes right to voicemail?
She's big timing you.
Should we text her?
Maybe I built it up too much. She's so popular now that she can't answer the phone.
Colleen, are you with us?
I like it. That was new.
Ah, there she is.
You know,
we a couple phone calls. Got to admit, there are a few phone calls, and it did not. There was no pickup, and we thought that maybe the partying had started.
So the partying has started. Not gonna lie, gonna be transparent about that. But I looked at my phone, and I'm like, God, this number keeps calling me back. And then it literally, 2 minutes ago, clicked, and I was like, oh, my God, it's you guys. So, hey, I'm here.
There she is. Colleen, you, of course, were – and by the way, you're joined Lindsay Rhodes, Chris Wessling, Mark Sessler, who lost his luggage but still has his handsome hole jeans. Very exciting.
That's all that's left.
You were in Philadelphia anchoring the coverage, and before we get into it, let's now – all together with Colleen, listen to you. We could have played all 5-10 minutes of Jason Kelce's speech on the steps of the Philadelphia.
Literally couldn't have.
Yeah, couldn't have. But FCC. let's play the money clip of Kelce addressing the crowd.
No one wanted us. No one liked this team. No analyst liked this team to win the Super Bowl.
King
and
Kelce.
Nobody likes our fans. And you know what? I've just heard one of the best chants this past day, and it's one of my favorite, and it's new, and I hope y'all learn it, because I'm about to drop it right now. You know what I got to say to all those people that doubted us, to all those people that counted us out, and to everybody who said that we couldn't get it done? What my man Jay Ajay just said.
So, Colleen, and I'm asking this, and you'll have to bleep this too, Ms. Fulton. What did he actually say? Because I don't know.
Well, he was singing a song, and every other word was so. Yeah, you're gonna have to bleep that. But it was something about being from Philly and you, and he just sang that over and over, and it really got the crowd hyped.
Now, was this to you as a native Philadelphian? Was it kind of a perfect, kind of highlight of, and it will be how this parade's remembered, Kelce, the way he addressed the crowd, the way that he didn't care if he was working a little blue, it felt to me like perfect Philly. Do you agree as someone from the area?
Oh, my God. I mean, everybody is going to embrace Jason Kelce even more after that, because on top of how wonderful he engaged the crowd and how he brought up things that were kind of irreverent, and it didn't even matter because he brought it full circle, and he did it all in a mummer's outfit. Which I'm from Philadelphia, and I still can't really describe what a mummer is. They asked me on the broadcast, and I hemmed and hawed because I don't really even know. It's a kind of weird thing.
Yeah, actually, Lindsay Rhodes walked into the studio today in her, what is it? Mumra?
Mummers.
Mummers.
It's not really a mummer's. But it's the closest thing.
Oh,
we
God,
have.
Lindsay, what are you wearing?
We'll take a picture. And
yeah, I'm about to post it on social media.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
It's such a cool moment. But beyond that, everybody's going to remember when he turned into a total professional wrestler and started dropping F-bombs in front of 80,000 people or whatever. But
it was so awesome.
He went through all the players and all these guys. Everybody said Lane Johnson couldn't lay off the juice. Jay Ajay couldn't stay healthy. Nick Foles couldn't play. He went through so
Nelson Aguilar couldn't catch a ball. Yeah.
Right. So it was very cool. What else? What were the other kind of big takeaways from the parade?
Well, so I stayed at a hotel on Broad Street, which is where the parade kind of went down. And I woke up out of a dead sleep and heard all of these Eagles chants and horns were honking and people were screaming. And I flew out of bed and was like, oh, my God, I missed the parade. The parade is going past my hotel right now. And I grab my phone and look at the time, expecting it to be 11 o'clock in the morning. And it was 1 a.m. People were outside lined up getting after it at 1 o'clock in the morning last night. And then we talked to some people who were by the art museum today where everything kind of culminated. And there were people who had been outside since 10 o'clock at night, just kind of scouting it out and trying to get the best spot possible.
That's cool. See, that's why, and Patriots fans will disagree because you always want to win, but why, and the NFL was good to have a fresh face win the Super Bowl, and what better than a team that had never won the Super Bowl, because you get this whole fresh experience for an entire region, and you have this unforgettable day. I was talking to Lindsay Fulton behind the glass. She told me she was nervous about the Cavs and the trade deadline. They basically traded away half their team. But Lindsay, your favorite day of your life, or one of the most exciting days of your life, was the Cavs victory parade after they beat the Warriors 2 years ago.
Yes, and my dad still, to this day, with four kids, says that was the best day of his life, was that victory parade. So I know how you feel, Colleen.
I know you were working, Colleen, but is this kind of like a pretty special cherry on top of an amazing season for you?
Yeah, I mean, to see the Eagles do as well, to just see them win and win and win and win, and then kind of be called the underdogs and go through everything that they went through this year with all the injuries. It was so amazing to be able to be at the Super Bowl and watch them win a Super Bowl, see Brian Dawkins get his Hall of Fame nod, and then to go back to Philly and cover the parade. I mean, I'm still kind of a little in shock, and it's hard for me to wrap my head around all of this. But it's been so awesome, and to be able to celebrate with friends and family right now is even better.
Well, I just want to know, because you're attached to this podcast with a bunch of people who have never really seen their teams achieve anything. And months ago, you were right in that group with us, and you were really down when Wentz got hurt. But yet you felt like, oh, it's kind of better because Eagles fans should have like really rough things happen to them. This feels more appropriate. You're an adult. You work in football. You know, it's the innocence of being like a young sports fan is not there. But what is the feeling as an adult when you watch your Super Bowl, your team win the Super Bowl after so many years? I really want to know if it's even.
I love that you're please.
Is it
tell
even
me
worth?
So I can live vicariously.
Should we even still chase this, or should we just say, you know what? There's probably better things in life. Or is this mountaintop as we would think?
Was it worth the wait?
It was so worth it. It was so worth it. I had no idea that the feelings that I felt were going to happen when they won. I was like, yes, of course it would be amazing to watch the Eagles win a Super Bowl, but they're playing the Patriots, and I'm worried about that, obviously. And when they won, it was like my friend Kristen, who you guys know, she was FaceTiming with her family, and they were all crying. And I was talking to John, and I was like, man, I wish your dad could have seen this, because he passed away from cancer years ago, and he was such a big Eagles fan, and it was so much more than just watching a game and watching a team win. It was more of like just the reason why you love sports and the reason why you get into all of this is because it's about like family and those connections and the nostalgia of it all.
Well, that's we're all very happy for you, Colleen, and I want you to drink plenty of water. How do they say it where you're from?
Water? No, it's water.
Water?
Water. I think it's called beer, but I mean, okay.
What kind of way is that to talk? Let's be honest.
It's weird, because in the South, that's how they say it, but I wouldn't
picture it. It's a championship Philadelphia way to talk, Dan.
So, all right, now go have fun. Don't rub it in.
She's already become a hyper-annoying fan, I can tell.
By the way, Philly fans are going to handle this really well.
Oh, yeah. You know, they're the next dynasty. You're going to wish New England was back.
So drink
this
plenty
of water. This is the new norm, you know.
All right, go have fun, Connie.
Okay, all right, bye.
There you go.
Bye.
Before we say goodbye to Lindsay Rhodes, a little bit of breaking news. Legit, it's real. The Kansas City Chiefs have released cornerback Darrelle Revis. What a day in the NFL. Just 2 months after signing the former Jets cornerback to a 2-year incentive-laden contract, Revis was not an impact player in KC, just as he was not an impact player anywhere after he left the Patriots.
Hence the breaking news tag.
Yeah, but he's
Kendall
an all-time
Fuller
great.
Time.
Yeah, he's in a
Kendall Fuller from the Kirk Cousins trade.
There you go.
Bingo.
She
connected the dots.
She did it. I wasn't ready to talk about Kendall Fuller yet. Lindsay said, let's move the story forward. Revis is old news. It's Fuller time. Full tank for Fuller with Lindsay Rhodes. Her new podcast debuting on NFL Media later this month. So Revis gone. Wes, did Revis bring anything of value to the Chiefs?
I mean, they got to the playoffs. I don't think that he played that well. Doesn't surprise me that he's gone.
He got Connor Orr got sandwiches out of it, but this is kind of what a lot of people expected. That
I think Connor Orr got more than the Chiefs got.
Probably. All right.
They brought something of value to him.
Yeah. There you go.
And now we'll see you again in 5 years.
Well, Lindsay, you've done it again. He came on the show, hit a 480-foot home run.
Wow.
Wow, that's... Yeah.
Adam Dunn.
Guys. Okay. All right.
Really, really crushed.
That's what
it.
I am. I'm a home run hitter.
And yes, as I said,
ball here.
Lindsay Rhodes is the co-host. I like to say anchor. Co-anchor of NFL Total Access, our flagship program. You got to check the show out. Just yesterday, a shouting match between Lindsay and James Jones about Aaron Rodgers' perceived status as a franchise quarterback.
Right.
Lindsay was not on the side of that. Jones went after her. It was great.
Yeah, this totally didn't happen. But
I'm just trying to send eyeballs to the show. But, it didn't happen.
How about this eyeballs to the show?
Okay.
Willie McGinest is on the show today.
Okay, nice.
We will be talking about the Josh McDaniels situation, and he is emphatic that what you think is happening is not happening.
Ooh, that's good. Now, you will hear this show.
He may have talked to a few people who would know.
Hmm. You will hear this show after that airs. However, you'll be on the net. It will be on NFL.com, I'm sure, this conversation. And we'll you know what we'll do? We'll send a link out on our Around the NFL handle
about
this very segment because we're pros and we get the time angle here of how things work
in
entertainment. Lindsay, you've done it again.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank
and
you.
And now you have
Good
other
to
things
see you.
To do.
Yay.
Thanks,
clip that for your Emmy
there
reel.
She goes.
What?
A legend. And the odds and ends, it was very nice. She kind of suckered me into doing some beatboxing. That didn't go too well.
Brought a new flavor, I thought. It was a
hip-hop flavor that maybe I didn't expect. All right.
I like it.
I think you both pulled it off.
Before we go, we like to share big takeaways from the Super Bowl. I think last year, as Wes noted on our Super Bowl show, which is still available, obviously, on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher and all other places other than Spotify, you could check out a Super Bowl recap that was live from U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. We didn't really get to dig into big pictures because we were all, frankly, and I think it had something to do with the weather. I'm not complaining about the cold weather in Minneapolis, and the people, as you said, Mark, very nice people.
Great week in many ways.
I think it grinded all of us down by the end of the week. And that Super Bowl show in particular, I don't really remember a lot of it. I'm a little bit delirious by the end of the show. So now that we've had a couple of days, I actually got to rewatch the game on the plane back to L.A. here. Some big picture takeaways from the game, and we'll start with you, Mark Sessler.
Are we doing one or two here?
One big picture take.
One big, okay.
I don't know where you got this two thing.
Well, I had 2 points, but I'll only make one.
You got to pick the best one.
I really love this Eagles team for what they accomplished over the last month of the season. And it's, to me, another example of, and it's easy to go on the road and say, we know nothing and we should stop making predictions. But really more the fact that their internal power completely drowned out the voices of everyone. This is how they feel, obviously, too, because of what we heard from Kelsey. But what did the value of everyone knocking them down a peg week after week from the minute Wentz went down right until the Super Bowl, what was the value of that? Literally nothing. The Eagles got to Super Bowl week, and the one thing hanging around them that I felt vibed off them so hard was ultra confidence. And I think that when you have a team that can, whether it's bunkering down the way they did and taking their own mentality and owning it and taking it to the point where they become the world champions the way they did, that is excellent coaching, it's excellent focus, and it shows how much more powerful that is than everyone with all their negativity, all their snark, and all their preconceived notions about what the Eagles were, who they were, what their limitations were. Everyone was wrong.
I have or had the exact same big takeaway.
I think it's what this team's feeling.
Because I think it's a... not even a lesson, because part of your job, if you're a football pundit or you're a member of the football cognoscenti, is to say things like, oh, Carson Wentz is gone. He's such a special player. The Eagles, they might, you know, limp to 12 or 13 wins, but they're done. I don't think that was unfair at the time. Nick Foles was bouncing around the league, was almost out of football. But the one thing we didn't know, and what the Eagles obviously knew, is that they were so strong within. And you see it in the locker room after the game, just how close these guys were and the resolve that they had, and the fact that, you know, when the Sparrow that I heard from had mentioned that, oh, we're going to put 40 points. We'll be disappointed if we don't put 40. Nobody thought that could be possible. And I think at the top of all of it is Nick Foles, who is a guy that everyone said, listen, he's not a good quarterback. He's not somebody that could ever deliver back-to-back performances. And then he did it. And then and let's play it, Lindsay. I thought what Nick Foles said after the game at his Monday press conference, when he was asked about kind of the road to get to this moment, I mean, it's a special soundbite because it shows you kind of the heart, the measure of a man.
I think the big thing is don't be afraid to fail. I think in our society today, you know, Instagram, Twitter, it's a highlight reel. You know, it's all the good things. And then when you look at it, you know, you think like, wow, when you have a rough day, your life's not as good as that. Like, you know, you're failing. And I don't think, you know, failure is a part of life. That's a part of building character and growing. Like, without failure, who would you be? I wouldn't be up here if I hadn't fallen thousands of times, made mistakes. You know, we all are human. We all have weaknesses. And I think throughout this, just being able to share that and be transparent. I know when I listen to people speak and they share their weaknesses, I'm listening because I can resonate. So I'm not perfect. I'm not Superman. Might be in the NFL and we might have just won the Super Bowl, but hey, we still have daily struggles. I still have daily struggles. So, but that's where my faith comes in. That's where my family comes in. And, you know, I think when you look at a struggle in your life, just know that, you know, that's just an opportunity for your character to grow.
Foles might not be a special quarterback, even though he played really well in these last two games, but obviously he's a special type of leader in person. We didn't get to see that until the gauntlet of the Super Bowl.
I thought the substance of that speech was among the most impressive that I've ever heard from a pro athlete. And it's a lesson that I think the three of us have learned. Me, not till later in my life. I'm most impressed the fact that a 29-year-old has reached that place in his life where he learned that lesson and he knows how important that is. It's one of the great lessons that life will ever teach anyone. My takeaway, you mentioned, Dan, the fresh face of the Eagles. I sort of cult back to Chip Kelly when he came in. He's supposed to be this great innovator, but he's rejected by a good portion of the NFL. His ideas are rejected. And I think the history of football going back to the 19th century is you have a dichotomy where the juxtaposition of incessant tactical innovation on one hand and sort of hidebound conservative takes on where the league is going and how players should act on the other hand. And the Eagles married those two. You have analytics in Doug Peterson's ear when he goes for fourth downs, which a lot of coaches still will not do. You've got him mixing West Coast traditional NFL offense with college RPOs and marrying those two offenses. And you also have the activism of guys like Malcolm Jenkins and Chris Long, which goes against what a lot of NFL people want. And I think the Eagles are a great example. Maybe, you know, it's a copycat league, and maybe we'll start to see some owners, some executives around the league give more leeway on this type of activism to go with the innovation. I just think they're a great example for the rest of the league on how they handled that, everything to do with that.
And the one thing on the Chip Kelly, you know, his arrival sent Howie Roseman, as we know, deep into the shed millions of miles away from the
into
complex.
Into the Poconos, yeah.
Into the Poconos. His return, this team, and this is why the offseason does matter, for all the stuff we can't stand about it, Nick Foles, Alshon Jeffrey, Torrey Smith, LeGarry Blount, Corey Clement, Nelson Aguilar. None of these guys, Nelson Aguilar seen as trade bait a year ago. The rest of them, none of the team, accounted for 480 of the 536 yards by the Eagles in the Super Bowl. That's team building. They figured out how to build a team with veterans and rookies. It's not one drastic end or the other. It's a mix of players. You talked about it with the activism. The locker room, we saw it after the game. It was a different type of team. It was refreshing.
Yeah, and it's funny, Jason Kelce, when he was going through he went through probably 15, 20 people on the team. And he mentioned Howie Roseman and that report that was confirmed. Not only did Chip Kelly move him out of, like, you know, out of sight of people, Kelce said, I didn't see Howie Roseman for a year after that happened. And then he came all the way back. So a special team and a special way to end the season for the Eagles, who are the Super Bowl 52 champions. And that is our Thursday show. We will be back. This schedule changes, by the way, officially. Obviously, this is a bit of a different week coming out of the Super Bowl. But from now until after spring mini camps, wrap up in late May, early June. We will go three times a week, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So make sure to adjust your listening habits as such.
Or lose out.
Or lose out. That's your problem.
Or gain.
And couple other notes. We will have a free agency primer special. I think it might be a standalone show that we're going to put together. So we might actually end up doing four shows next week, three or four. We're not sure yet. And that will land early next week. And we did not forget, we just had too much to get to today, our top 10 calls of 2017. We've been curating all year with Fulton. And now we have to narrow it down to 10 and share our favorite calls of the year. So that is that.
You know, there's a couple of those calls that are really, really close as far as top 10 goes.
Yeah.
I think we'll have to talk about this, but we might need listeners to help us out a little bit. Might have to do some kind of social.
All right. Well, we can talk about it, how we want to do it. It's never easy. We did it last year, and it was narrowing it down from, it was 20-something calls, and we got it down to 10. So we'll talk about it, and that's it. Do you have something you want to play us out on for today's show, Lindsay?
Well, I was going to play the chant that we were talking about with Jason Kelsey's speech.
Oh, you want to play the speech. And you, as a professional wrestling fan, Lindsay, I know you probably loved the fact that when he started going through each of the names, the crowd started going, what? What?
The difference here being that this is attached to a real sport, but point made.
Hey, you know, some of those wrestlers are more athletic than a lot of professional.
Mark. Oh, calm down.
No, we're not going to get into this.
Yeah, that, Mark, that is firing a grenade, by the way, at a wrestling.
It's not a sport. It's scripted entertainment.
Sure it is, but the.
Do we really want to have this conversation
now? No, we'll save this for. Okay.
Anyway, what I was saying, Lindsay, was that is a famous crowd, really originated in professional wrestling, was the what? What? Is that what we're going to listen to?
They still do it. I mean, I was going to play the actual chant that he was referring to.
I have no idea what Lindsay's about to play, but that's how the show is going to end. So, until Monday, this is Dan Hansa signing off. For Quiet Storm, the mailman, Lindsay Rhodes in absentia, and the great Lindsay Fulton behind the glass. Till Monday.